Good morning, and peace be with you. We're celebrating, observing Reformation Day today, and isn't it nice when it falls on a Sunday? But we're a little early, I guess. Well, I don't guess, but today that is why we're all in red, and let us reflect on what God did through one man, his son Jesus Christ, but also what he did through another man, and that's Martin Luther. So we're grateful for our heritage. We recognize it today, and so we'll celebrate later throughout the service, and then also afterwards in fellowship. So without further ado, I'm going to have Susan come up and do let you know what is important to know, and we'll go from there. Thank you, Susan.
Good morning. It's wonderful to see you all. Today, this is the last Sunday of October, so our missions, our love offering and prayers and donations will be going to Samaritan's Purse, which for their Christmas child gift boxes. So this is the last Sunday to give to that mission if you'd like, because we want to get that check off as soon as we can. If you want to, it's a Tuesday morning, sit and be fit is a great time to spend some time with some friends and get a little exercise. That starts at 10 o'clock and it's open to everybody. Also on Tuesday at 11:15, there's a Bible study on the first book of Timothy, and everyone is welcome for that as well. It's always a great study and lots of lively discussion. On Saturday morning, the men of Reformation and friends and neighbors, whoever wants to come, we'll meet at 8 o'clock in Pastor Ken's office for a Bible study. If you have praise reports that you would like to share with everyone, you can give a little note to Ashley or a phone call to Ashley and let her know, and those will be included on page 5 of the bulletin. It's nice to read those and see how God is working in a lot of people's hearts. Worship assistants are always needed. You guys can read that. On the 31st of October is Halloween night, and Victory Outreach is having a harvest festival for their kids and for the kids of the neighborhood. And I think they probably even reach out to schools, and it's kind of like a trunk or treat and a big, big activity out in the parking lot. So lots and lots of candy is needed. So if you would like to donate candy to that, bring a bag in before the 31st and give that to Ashley. If Ashley's not here, you can just set it outside the door of VO's office, which is right next to Pastor's. On November 15th at 3 in the afternoon, Nick Galionitis will be here along with a violinist, Dr. Hannah Murray, to perform a concert. They are always very entertaining, and so be here if you can. And there'll be a reception after the performance. There'll be a reception. Debbie's handling that, and so you know it's going to be really nice. And then next Sunday, November 2nd, is All Saints. We're going to be celebrating All Saints Day. So if you have lost someone that you love this past year, please let Ashley know, and their name will be included when we name all the others, and that person will have a rose too. So I think that's it. If you have any questions, you can let Ashley know, or you can talk to anybody on council, and we'll be able to help you with that. Okay? Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful day.
Will you please stand if you're able? We come together this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all of your sins. And as your called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory are his. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation, blessing and honor and glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is the feast of victory for God, for the Lamb who has slain has begun his reign. Alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies. And grant to your church your saving peace through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The first reading this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verses 1 through 15, and this can be found on page 6 in the Pew Bible. The theme is, it's not following rules that pleases God, but what's in your heart. Genesis 4, beginning with the first verse. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. Our second reading is Psalm 5, and we read it responsively. It's printed on page 6 of the bulletin. This is the Psalm of David, an appeal to God for help when attacked by vicious lies and deceit. Psalm 5. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful you, Lord, detest. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they tell lies. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall and their many sins. For they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround with your favor as with a shield. The epistle this morning is taken from the second book of Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 and 16 through 18. This can be found on page 1855 in the Pew Bible. This is Paul's last letter to Timothy, as Paul's death was near and he was in chains in Rome. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with the 6th verse. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke from the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Our Gospel this morning comes from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 17, and can be found on page 1629 in your Pew Bible. Luke records, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you
that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector, he stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast, and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Now, this morning we heard a parable that Jesus told to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they treated others with contempt. And we call this story the Pharisee and the tax collector. We may know the story pretty well, but the question is, do we really know the meaning? Maybe another question we need to ask ourselves, a better question, is how well do I apply the meaning of this parable to myself? The parable in and of itself is simple enough to tell. A Pharisee and a tax collector, they went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee spent his whole prayer bragging about himself. And the tax collector, he confessed his sin, and he begged for mercy. Both men get exactly what they want. The Pharisee received the admiration of the people that were around him. The tax collector received God's mercy. The tax collector was justified. The Pharisee was not. And even though the tax collector sinned greatly, God declared him to be righteous. And even though the Pharisee, he looked very good to the public, he was still damned by his sin. Jesus could not have chosen two people of greater contrast than a Pharisee and a tax collector of the time. You see, people looked up to the Pharisee. They looked up to them with a great deal of admiration. People looked down on tax collectors. They would say, in today's vernacular, were the scum of the earth. People hated tax collectors. Why? Well, because
They worked for the Romans who currently occupied the land of Israel. The tax collectors basically had a franchise relationship with the Roman occupation. And it worked like this. The tax collectors would bid for the rights of a certain territory. And then Rome would give the right to that person to collect taxes if he was the highest bidder. So any taxes that the tax collector could get over and above the bid was his to keep. And in return, Rome would back up the tax collector with a law enforcement arm of the Roman army. Perhaps you can appreciate this if you've watched any of the Italian mafia movies. But you can imagine the ease of collecting taxes when you have a Roman soldier or several Roman soldiers standing behind you. In my mind, and I'm going to share it with you, I'm sorry in advance for it, but it reminds me of, hey, Moose, Rocco, help the man find his wallet. And they did. You may not like to have to pay taxes, but you were going to pay taxes. You see, Rome, they didn't care nor stipulate how many taxes were collected. There was no maximum or minimum. As long as Rome got its money that they had negotiated with the tax collector in advance, they didn't really care if the tax collectors got insanely rich. From the point of view of the taxpayer, it was a lot like a protection racket, except it was legal because it was endorsed by Rome. It should not surprise anyone that most of the population, therefore, hated tax collectors. Then there were the Pharisees, in contrast. The Pharisees, they worked hard at their public relations, and it was very important to them that they look good. Most people thought the Pharisees were truly the best examples of righteous living in their culture. You could expect a Pharisee to have an obsession about living according to the law. The problem that a Pharisee had was in his motivation for keeping the law. He lived according to the law, that is true, so that he looked good to his neighbors. That's the reason he did it. He was politicking. But he also lived according to law so that he looked good to God. And there is the big problem. He thought he looked good to God and that mattered. You see, it is impossible, for we know, it is impossible to keep the law in a way that God intended it. If you are going to deceive yourself into thinking that you can keep the law, you must whittle away at it little by little until it becomes doable. That is what the Pharisees did. We know that the Pharisees developed over 600 guidelines for living. Guidelines that they called laws. And if you knew those laws really well, you would discover that they had some loopholes in them, ways to get around them without sinning. If you knew these laws well and you used them skillfully, you could deceive yourself into thinking that you were living the righteous life. Does that make you think of when we say if we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us? Does that come to your mind after hearing that? It should. And it's nothing new. Man does that. The Pharisees taught that salvation only began with God's mercy. It only began with His mercy. But then each man had to contribute to his own salvation with a righteous life. That's interesting. Those who teach rules for living and preach how-to sermons are doing nothing new. The Pharisees were doing it a long time ago. That's why at this church we preach Christ and Him crucified. Amen? You are listening. Amen? Okay. So when the Pharisee prayed, he bragged with a long list of all of his good deeds. The fact of the matter is that he probably really did everything that he mentioned in his prayer according to the law that he learned in Pharisee school. He probably really did keep the law as he knew it. And what a tragedy it is that in spite of his best effort, he was totally lost. Now, on the other hand, you had the tax collector. And the tax collector is a living image of repentance. He is. He knows that he is saturated in sin. He was aware that he deserved punishment every day of his life and forever in hell. He knew that he had earned the entire weight of God's wrath with his sin. And even so, he looked to God for mercy. He believed God was his only hope. He did not depend on himself. He depended entirely on God. And this man, we read, this man went down to his house justified. Now, in this parable, Jesus teaches and he gives us a picture of two main classes of religion throughout the world. Two. While there are thousands of religions in the world, they all break down into two categories. In one category are all the religions that ask you to do some sort of work for your own salvation. And in the other category, well, that's Christianity. The one and the only religion that asks nothing of you for salvation. Christianity is the one and only religion that asks nothing of you for salvation. Christianity is about God doing all the work for you, all the work of saving us. He did it for you and for me. Now, the world is full of false religions. There are false religions to suit every whim of the heart. Islam has five pillars. Buddhism has the eightfold path. Reincarnation teaches that you are born into this world of suffering again and again until you get it right. Better luck next time. The prophets, as we read in 1 Kings 18:28, the prophets of Baal in the Old Testament were trying to earn Baal's favor when they cried. They cried aloud and they cut themselves after their custom. They cut themselves with swords and lances until the blood gushed out of them. Since we are dealing with the lies of false religion, they can be anything that you want them to be. The truth is, they will all be about you making yourself worthy of your own salvation. A false religion may not require you to do everything for your salvation, but it will require you to do something. Something. Now, Christianity, on the other hand, recognizes one simple fact, and that is, I cannot save myself. No one can. Instead, Christianity proclaims a salvation where God does all of the work of the salvation, all of it. He even sends the Holy Spirit to establish faith in me, faith in you, because I can't even believe in Him on my own power. As Martin Luther states in the Small Catechism, he writes this,
I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. Now, Christianity proclaims a salvation that is a free gift from God. Now, I do nothing for my salvation. You do nothing for your salvation. God does it all. And it is by the Holy Spirit's gift of faith that the tax collector can enter the temple and pray, saying, God, be merciful, merciful to me, a sinner. And because God does all the work of salvation, and he is faithful, he is true, he is almighty and all-knowing, Christianity gives you 100% certainty of your salvation. It's not Jesus plus. Done for you. You can be 100% certain of your salvation because you do nothing. God does it all. He earned our salvation for us. He delivers that salvation to us. He takes the dead soul, and he brings it back to life. The Bible clearly sets forth the work of God in earning our salvation. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us and redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 4. First of all, the Son of God took our human flesh in order to take our place. He took our place under the law, and he lived a perfect life that is impossible for us, as Scripture says. Scripture says this, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, for as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The old Adam and the new Adam. Then God laid the sin of the entire world on him, so that he became a great sinner in God's eyes, as the Bible says this, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And then he surrendered his body to men who nailed him to the cross. And we were reminded in Philippians, the letter to the church in Philippi, Paul writes, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And by his perfect life and his death on the cross, he had reconciled us to God and earned salvation for all people. You who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. And finally, in 1 John 2:2, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So Jesus, the Son of God, has earned salvation for us, but that salvation would be useless if God did not also deliver that salvation to us. For the Bible says this in Ephesians 2:1, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. It also says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's Ephesians 2:1. The Bible makes it clear that by nature we are spiritually dead and we are enemies of God. And in our foolish arrogance, we believe that we can earn our own salvation, or we can contribute to it. All of us are born with an inclination to be Pharisees. All of us. God overcomes our hostility, and he brings us to life by the power of the Holy Spirit. For we read in the letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does this through the gospel, for the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, Romans 1:16. And faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, Romans 10:17. So it is that the Holy Spirit produces and maintains faith through the gospel, and so delivers the saving work of Jesus Christ to us. You've heard me pray, Lord, do the gospel unto the hearers. And he does. He promises. Now, the Pharisee, he judged himself by comparing himself to other people. He said, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even that, like this tax collector. You can almost see him pointing. How often have you heard this story and you thought, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this Pharisee? Have you thought that? And as soon as you start judging our righteousness by comparison to other people, we begin to become like the Pharisee. And as soon as we say that we are in any way responsible for our own salvation, we join the Pharisee in bragging about our greatness. We draw attention away from God and toward ourselves. And as soon as phrases like, do you ever say this? As soon as you say, I should, I must, I have to, I really ought to, and so forth, if that enters your talk about salvation, we are in danger of taking on the responsibility for our salvation and losing it. This is a constant temptation. Now, thank goodness that the Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel, that he has enlightened us by his gifts, and sanctified and kept us in the true faith. For it is God, the Holy Spirit, who delivers the salvation earned for us on the cross by Jesus Christ. He gives it to us by his gift of faith. And it is only by the Holy Spirit's gift of faith that we can join the tax collector in the parable, and that we can say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It is only by the Holy Spirit's gift of faith that we can go home justified. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Just how as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark lot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Will you please stand if you're able? Let us now confess our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is found on page 3 of your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray to our God, who has justified us by the work and the grace of Jesus alone, that our faith may be strengthened and nourished by his holy word. Holy Lord, you have given us your word as your promise and washed us in baptism to be your own people and to live under you in your kingdom now and forever. Build us up in Christ that we may hold the faith in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace as we give evidence of this faith and holiness of life. Reprove us when we are in error, and reform what is lacking in us, that we may grow up into Christ, our head. Lord, in your mercy, God of grace, keep us steadfast in your word, and prevent our wayward hearts from following false gospels that lead us away from you. Provide your church with
faithful pastors who preach in purity and joy, that are saved by your grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, Heavenly Father, give wisdom and strength to all fathers in the home and church. Make them faithful in teaching your word to the children entrusted to their care, that these little ones would come to know you as their Heavenly Father and live as true children of God. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, when the nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall, teach us to be still and know that you are God. Guide all who govern us so that evil is thwarted, righteousness rewarded, and all your ways are upheld. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, hear our prayers for the sick, the joyful, and in those in need. Especially we lift up those on our hearts right now or out loud. Father, answer their prayers. Preserve them by your promises and keep them safely through this world of to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, give to all who approach your altar this day repentant hearts and firm faith in the Savior's promises. Graciously prevent us from partaking to our judgment and grant us reverently and joyfully to receive Christ's body and blood. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we give you thanks for all your servants who have departed this life in faith. We especially bless you today for the great reformers of your church who call us back to the gospel and to the righteousness that we have in Christ alone. Keep us in fellowship with them and bring us at last to your heavenly home and the joy of seeing our Redeemer face to face through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share the peace. Will you please pray with me? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks. Breaking it, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. Then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." For we know that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, that we proclaim Christ's death, his resurrection, and his glorious coming again. Let us now pray together the prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. I told you before, you know, my favorite parts of things, and I have a lot of favorite parts. One of my favorite parts of the service is the administering of the Holy Sacrament of the altar, and to look in each one of you as you take it and say, "His body for you." And boy, do I like it when you say, and Roger started it, but he's got, "For me, amen." And I love that. And a lot of you are doing it now too. So I don't want to twist your arm and make you do it, but what it does, it says, yeah, you get it. For you. You did nothing. It wasn't Jesus plus. It was for you, all of it, for you. And that is what we receive here. What do we receive? We receive grace. We are rescued from sin, death, and the devil. Now, if that is your confession, and I've heard you confess, then come. The table is prepared. The usher will bring you forward. And now the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all." Jesus made it all. All to him I owe. Sin I left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leopard spots and melt the heart of stone. 'Cause Jesus made it all. All to him I owe. Yeah. a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat that Jesus made it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.